This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Happy Open Line Thursday, everybody.
And look who's back in the studio. It's one Jason William Bishop.
Thanks for holding down the fort, boys, last couple days. Fist bump for that. You too.
Yeah, you know what?
Cakes is afraid to
touch
you.
I'll take a virtual fist bump.
You know, isn't it just a stomach virus?
Yeah, I mean, I have zero energy right now. But the worst thing about, I don't know if Bickle felt the same way after the Florida trip, but the worst thing besides feeling physically ill about being sick is that you just feel like a loser because all you do is sit around and lay around all day.
Right.
That's all I did.
Just trying to recuperate.
Tuesday and yesterday, I just laid around all day. I left the house.
Kind of sounds like the life.
No, yeah, I know what you mean.
No, you just you get nothing done. I mean, I left the house once to walk my dog. I mean,
yeah.
you just feel like a loser.
Well, I know when I was in Florida, I didn't have the energy really to walk around. Most I could get
neither
was,
did I.
Yeah, you get down to the pool.
But at the end of the day, you're like,
they call paramedics.
What do you do?
Did Lucas Glover's wife come in and give you a pep talk? Call you a loser?
No, she didn't.
And the P word?
But she probably would have.
Oh, you're sprawled out in bed.
Oh, yeah. She would have dumped you.
Oh,
if you were married
yeah.
to Lucas Glover's wife, she would have dumped you.
Yeah.
For not showing up for work.
Right. She needs you out there grinding.
You missed you.
The guy won the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's crazy.
She's pretty.
Pretty hard.
What?
I didn't
she's
think
got,
so.
Maybe
she's
I
got,
saw a different
she's
picture.
She's got spindly
well,
chicken
he
legs.
I looked at her mugshot.
I saw the mugshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure
got,
that wasn't on her best day.
She's got spindly chicken legs, and she's a terrible person.
If you want to see what a person really looks like, just check out the mugshot. That's
right.
What they really look like.
I thought she actually looked fairly decent in the mugshot compared to most people in
she's
mugshots.
She's a super plasticky Barbie clone that with yeah. chicken legs, and she calls you the P word.
Your standards so are
I'm
dropping,
gonna,
JP.
I'm going to take a hard pass.
Anyway, well, I'm just separating the what she called you. If we're just talking about attractiveness, I think she's pretty attractive. As Eric said, she's a golfer's wife. Most of them are.
They
attractive.
All look like Paige.
You know what
Spernak.
She is? She's a demon.
She's no Paige.
She's
Spernak.
A freaking demon. Is Here, what
here's
she
a picture
is.
Of her, Jason, when she's sober.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. She's an attractive girl.
There's a lot of makeup on that face.
Yeah, listen, not my type. And I'd have donked her off years ago. Lucas Glover is practically a cuckold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to understand what he's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it. You got kids involved. But
yeah,
that's
definitely
a,
got kids involved.
That's a serious nightmare situation. And apparently, you know, the 911 calls go viral, and we'll play that at some point during the show.
She wants that money.
We're pulling a Brett on the 911 calls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an unbelievable situation.
Anyway, thanks, boys, for hanging out.
Yeah,
two
of course.
Days.
Sucks. Don't want you to be sick.
We were speculating, though, the timing of your sickness. You're off next week, right?
Yeah.
I am off next
it
week.
It would have been a beautiful sickness to wrap it all the way around
so,
the vacation.
So you should have gotten
sick.
We might not
see you for 2 weeks. On Wednesday.
Should have gotten sick today.
Right,
today
right,
and then Friday.
So then on Thursday, Friday.
Then you start turning a quarter on Saturday. Sunday, you feel pretty good, and then you look down the barrel of vacation.
Remind me next time.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know.
But if it's a staycation, it's not like you go out there and play golf anyway because it just rains every day.
Well, I can't play golf with the rain. I can't play golf with my shoulder. I can't play golf.
I can't play golf because he has to run to the bathroom every 90 seconds.
I haven't played golf since November. It's depressing.
I haven't played golf since, I don't know, last August, and it's very liberating.
Well, I'm supposed to play tomorrow, and I'm looking at the forecast, and I have all week, and it's not changed. 100% chance of rain tomorrow.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. Are they still going to have it?
If you want to play in British Open
my
conditions,
understanding is,
then tomorrow's the day for
it's not,
you.
It's not my choice. I paid for the foursome.
Is this a charity tournament?
It's a charity thing. It's the one I enjoy all year. All the others I don't do. I turn them all down. It's one I've looked forward to, and it's 100% chance of rain. What are you going to do? Already taken off work. I just go and sit in the clubhouse,
speaking
I guess.
Of charity, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what else to do.
I think I haven't talked to Drabby and Valdez about this, but I think I have a charity appearance for you two on June 15th. I'm working out the money. Appearance fee. I'm trying to work out
you're
the appearance.
You're booking appearances for us?
Look at that.
Well, they asked me to do it, but
that's
I can't.
That's solid.
They asked me to do it.
And you're getting paid to appear at a charity event? That is That's above and beyond.
I always feel kind of weird taking money from a charity event.
That's kind of true, but you know what? Draft's moving into a new house.
You got to do what you got to do, though.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
I mean,
if they're going to donate their time.
Yeah.
I just have to work out the money.
It's not really donating their time, though, when they pay you.
Well, that's true. You're not donating anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not really donating anything.
But you're providing a service.
Yes, that's true.
You have to.
Someone wants to
see
Draft?
I think the only thing you have to do is get up on a stage and introduce a band.
Sounds easy.
Yeah, it sounds but easy.
Especially if there's a payday.
I'll keep you posted on that.
Look at that.
Books Speaking of, I was just in like a Google, a wormhole the other day, and I occasionally do this. And I Googled the HF Festival 2004 when we were there.
Okay.
I really did enjoy that when Jay-Z performed.
It was
and
a great
I found
event.
A batch of photos that I had never seen before.
Really?
Yeah. And this is only.
Oh, they have to be embarrassing.
So this was 14 years ago?
Yeah. So this is when Darnarian McCants and Rod Gardner and LeVar and all those guys were on stage with us.
Right.
And I think Dukes was there. And we're introducing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm always intrigued by pictures of when Jay-Z was performing because Beyonce was on stage right next to us.
She was watching him, yeah.
Yeah, and I found a picture. Oh, this is not the one. But so here's Jay-Z performing, and you see me in the background. Like you can see, if you knew me, you can see that I'm in the background. There's another picture I should find you where Beyonce is about 3 feet over, and you can see your head
right
behind Beyonce. You want me to send that to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably a great picture.
Well, I mean, you could barely see, but I mean, you know what I mean? You're in the background, but...
Am I staring at her ass?
You're probably staring at her white
pants.
No, but
she looks so young and so freaking pretty.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I can't believe that was 14 years ago.
14 years ago. Oh. 14 years ago. And then you see the crowd shots from that day? The number of people that used to go to that event, how did that music die? Like six weeks later.
There were probably 50,000 people, if not more, at that
outside,
event.
Outside, inside.
It's crazy.
The lineup. If you go through the lineup, I won't even bother with you now. But the bands that were there, it's unbelievable.
Now you get me a little bit sized for the heyday. I need to look at that 2004
I just get
HF
sized.
Festival.
But every once in a while, I get stuck in Google and I go, let me see if I can find some old pictures of the HF Festival and just see if I can find the Junks on stage with Jay-Z or something, because those were the days.
That was fun.
And I
see you sporting the Monte Cargo shorts in that picture.
Oh yeah, everything in there is oil. I have big glasses, cargo shorts. I got my Steve Francis jersey. I mean, everything
is so
dated.
Is that the one where Cakes actually ripped his cargo shorts trying to go over a fence?
It probably
was. I
was
with you.
It was the dumbest idea
ever.
We had
to go from the main stage to a side stage to intro some band, and so I took the shortcut, jumping the fence instead of running all the way around. Then Cakes caught his pants on the same fence.
Well, it was like a 12-foot high fence. And instead of having, like, the silly money metal bar at the top of the fence, it had just a little bit of barbed wire at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So it made swinging the leg over top
almost
a little
impossible.
Bit difficult.
Yeah.
So I did that, nearly cut off my Bozak and ripped my silly cargo shorts. But it was not the best look.
But for that concert, so Jay-Z was kind of the headliner for it.
Yeah.
He flew in on a helicopter. I think they paid him about $150,000. Flew in on a helicopter, did his set, a 30-minute set. It wasn't a long set.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd went nuts, and then got back on the helicopter.
I mean, flew out.
That lineup,
Beyonce, right?
That lineup was absurd. If you look at it. The main stage, just the main stage, was The Cure, The Offspring, Jay-Z, POD, Newfound Glory, The Violent Femmes, Cypress Hill, Papa Roach, Yellow Card, Our Friends OAR, and Voodoo Blue. I mean, I think they won a contest to be on the main stage. The street stage, Modest Mouse, The Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Lit. Fall Out Boy and Taking Back Sunday. That was the street stage.
Listen,
you guys are kind of nuts.
Fall Out Boy was on the street stage.
Think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the locals only, headlined by our friends Jimmy's Chicken Shack, who are HFS.
The one thing I remembered about The Cure from that particular concert was we were standing on the stage off to the side.
Yeah.
And Robert Smith did not want anybody to watch them from the side angle for some reason. So he asked everyone to leave the stage that were watching from the side.
Right. He's a weirdo.
Now, you could stand in the back behind him and obviously in front, but you couldn't be on the side for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, the year before, then I got into it. I was like, well, let me Google the 2003 festival because I'm pretty sure we did that one.
Godsmack.
That was the one. Well, for me, the big one that I remembered was Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there are a ton of photos. And I was trying to find us because I remember we were on the side stage. When Dave Navarro and what's the name of the lead singer of Jade's Addiction?
Perry Farrell.
Perry Farrell were playing.
Yeah.
And
is he still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hot, silly Asian girlfriend or wife or, I don't know,
right.
threesome partner. I don't know who she was. She was standing over there too, but I couldn't find pictures of us in the background on that one.
Mm. I definitely remember being there.
On the main stage that year, the Donnas played, and JP didn't go out and pull the plug on their mic during their performance.
No, he only did that.
No, he didn't sabotage that one.
He only did that in studio. Their first live performance ever.
I'll never forget that.
That was funny.
So funny.
Oh, man. Do you have the audio? Did we ever play that audio on the show?
We definitely
have. Still makes us laugh.
Yeah. God damn.
Well, I hope that the Caps don't look sick like they did in Game 3 tonight.
Yeah, they look like you sitting on the toilet.
I'm not willing to go 100%, but 95% of me feels like whoever wins this game
wins the series.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it 100%. Obviously, anything can happen.
This is a big one.
But I think this is a massive one. And, you know, we talked about it all week.
JP, how you feeling about tonight?
The change on a dime.
I think they're going to win, mm-hmm. but I thought they were going to win the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't think it was going to be a sweep. I thought they'd win one of these two. I thought that they would win game three.
You were just kind of waiting for Tampa to show up because, you know, they hadn't shown up in the first couple of games, and they showed up for that one.
They've scored 8 goals in 3 games. 5 of them have been on the power play.
Right.
The Caps need to clean that up first and foremost. Secondly, they may get Backstrom back. And I think that'll make a difference.
Cakes, for whatever
reason. We don't know
if
he's going to come back, but if they get Backstrom back and they clean up the power play issue where they gave Tampa 6 cracks at it.
It's 6 power plays?
Yeah.
Why are they giving so many power plays at home?
Holpe's tripping guys. I mean, Lars Eller couldn't stay out of the penalty box. He committed 3 himself.
That was a bad game.
So hopefully they've gotten rid of all those issues and they come out on fire tonight.
Well, they deserve to lose. They deserve to lose that game. They weren't good.
They were outplayed and Tampa Stars came to play.
Yeah, you missed it. So we talked all about like Roenick was killing him during the breaks, and I had a hard time disagreeing with him. At one point, I think in the second intermission, obviously it was the second intermission, he said they played 40 minutes. The Caps have played well in 2 of them.
Yeah.
That's
the worst they've looked, I think, in the playoffs.
I think so. And then the people were giving them a pass, saying, oh, they didn't look that bad. They were fine, just not good enough. Fine's not good enough.
I didn't think they were fine.
It's not, but they had played so well since dropping the 2 against Columbus.
They're due for a dud.
The due theory's everywhere.
It was too little too late, but I thought that they picked it up the second half of that game. Mm. First half of the game, they seemed to be slower. Didn't have as much energy. Holpe looked shaky. But in the second half, although it didn't result in a ton of goals, they were peppering the Lightning's goal.
Well, I wouldn't know because after they scored the 4th one, it was one of the rare times I turned it off. So when they went up 4-1, I waited about 2 or 3 more minutes maybe, and then that was it.
And that's why they had a bunch more shots.
But I would agree. I think tonight's winner wins the series.
I'm not going to say 100% because obviously 2-2, anything can happen.
Because then Tampa's completely stolen the mojo.
Well, and then they got their home ice back. Right. All that hard work you did is just evaporated.
Although the Caps are better on the road for some reason.
They're so much better on the
road. Yeah, I can't explain it.
I don't get it.
So much it's better weird. On the road.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. This is our good pal, Joe Beninati, the voice of the Capitals and NBC Sports Washington. What's going on, Joe B?
Good morning, JP. I wish this rain would go away, but all's well. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hey, we'll take rain for another week if you give us a W tonight.
Sure, why not? Oh, that'd be terrific. You really would love to go to Tampa up 3-1. That would calm a lot of people down. But, again, we've mentioned how good Tampa Bay is, and Tampa Bay showed that in Game 3. But I think that gets Washington's attention. And the way they've responded this playoff spring after being punched in the nose has been really good. So let's see how they respond tonight.
Right. That's a big question. And I don't know. You could speak to this. Are we overstating sort of the importance of this? Because as you mentioned, they have been tremendously resilient. I think several of us picked the Caps to win this series simply because of the momentum and the psychological edge from beating Pittsburgh and just taking off from there. But I got to tell you, and I anticipated this, I say if they lose Game 3, this thing could turn on a dime. And if they lose tonight, even if they outplay them, but lose tonight, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know that momentum swings from game to game, But I'll feel like all of that hard work that we did to steal those first two games, even though we outplayed them thoroughly, is just up in smoke. I feel like this game four, Joe, is critical.
Yeah, EB, I heard you guys discussing this, I want to say maybe yesterday with John Walton, about how you don't believe momentum carries from game to game, but you do believe momentum happens inside the game, and I can buy that.
Yeah.
I thought for a large part of the game, especially early in the game, I thought the Capitals were just fine in game three. Those two quirky penalties, and they're really unusual to see a goalie tripping penalty and a closing the hand on the puck penalty. Those two power plays gave Tampa Bay life. And at even strength, I haven't seen Tampa Bay be the better team. Washington has been the better team at even strength throughout the first three games.
Mm-hmm.
So the key being, don't take undisciplined penalties tonight. If they're good penalties to take them. If they deny scoring opportunities, you have to take it, that's fine. But don't give Tampa Bay the potential for added life through some silly penalty calls. And there are going to be adjustments on the PK, but assistant coach Lane Lambert told me before the series that he had a lot of concern about Tampa Bay's power play, and we could see that those concerns are justifiable, because when they throw that five-man unit out there, there's a lot of skill on the ice. That's a lot of world-class talent that's shooting on Braden Holtby, and they were able to catch some fire in Game 3. But with respect to the importance of a series, I continue to come back to the fact that this team has shown me the ability to compartmentalize one game at a time, one shift at a time, one period at a time. They know how important Game 4 is. They know what it would mean to grab that 3-1 lead. It doesn't mean the series is over, but it does give them added breathing room. Should they fall, then it becomes a best of three. You no longer have home ice, which is crazy around the league. Hasn't meant all that much this spring, but you make it a dogfight. And there are a lot of us who believe this would be a long series, so let's see how it plays out. But obviously on the Washington side, there is the chance to get it over with quickly. You'd love to take that chance.
Joe B., I'm stealing these stats from Mike Vogel's Dump and Chase blog, which is always excellent, so I have to give full disclosure there. The Caps had 22 straight successful penalty-killing missions earlier in the playoffs. That's gone away. Since then, they've only killed off 61.5% of power play opportunities. So is it a factor of something's gone wrong with the power play, with the penalty kill, or, as you mentioned, they're just supremely talented guys they're facing at this point, and it's tougher to kill off the penalties? We saw what Stamkos and Kucherov did in Game 3.
A little bit of both, Cakes. It's part execution, and it's part that we are now almost 6 weeks into watching the Caps penalty kill, which means all of the videographers, all the video coaches, all the scouts have had that much time to look and pick apart what Washington likes to do on the kill and then try to exploit it. And then when you can exploit it with the likes of Hedman and Kucherov and Stamkos and on and on and on with that power play unit, It tends to be successful. You're referencing the stretch there, and it was a combination. It was part Columbus, part Pittsburgh, where the penalty killing was outstanding. Holtby obviously starts as your best and most important penalty killer. He makes phenomenal stops during that situation. For me, what they need to do, and obviously Lane knows this, and the players know this, there needs to be a limitation of that east-west pass through that seam that finds either Kucherov or Stamkos. It reminds me a lot of the Pittsburgh power play, that it can be two-sided, in that Kessel can be driving one-timers on one side, Malkin on the other. For Tampa Bay, you see it with Stamkos and Kucherov. That gives a penalty-killing unit fits. It means you have to stretch and cover that much more. So right now, I'm sure they're in the middle of a meeting, or soon to come this morning. They'll be in penalty-killing meetings explaining what they need to do. And I think it's probably hedge a little bit more towards Hedman and force him down the wall, first and foremost, to create a bad angle for those seam passes. And then penalty-killing always comes back to hustle and hard work. And there are plenty of guys who are willing to sacrifice right now. It's another area, guys, honestly, where they do miss Nicklas Backstrom. Mm-hmm. Nicklas is such a smart offensive player. It makes him a really good penalty killer. He usually knows where to have his stick in a particular passing lane, or he knows a particular move that's going to happen before it does. So it's just another area where you miss him.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that as we're talking to Joe Beninati, the voice of the Caps on NBC Sports Washington. You mentioned on the penalty kill, and they've been able to overcome the loss of Nicklas Backstrom. They're 3-1 without him, but what are those areas where they miss him?
Oh, everywhere. Every single way. Start on the bench. He's a brilliant communicator on the bench. He sees the game so well, so he's always talking to his mates and explaining different things that go on from there. On the ice, from a playmaking standpoint, he's a facilitator. It's funny, we're talking about an injury to a guy who would be on the NHL all-hands team. He has unbelievably gifted hands. His touch, his tempo on passing, his setup ability, he's just brilliant in that regard. He works so well with Yevgeny Kuznetsov. When the Caps have their own power play opportunities, those two guys are maestros at moving the puck to the right place, give and take, shooting it when need be. And that's what I always would worry about. If you bring Backstrom back too soon and he's not really a shooting threat, then from a penalty killing standpoint, the Lightning can, back off of him. Go ahead, shoot it, Nicklas. You can't shoot it hard enough to beat Vasilevsky. That if that's the case, then that's a limitation. Defensively, as smart as they come, and Barry Trotz will tell you that year after year, Nicklas is deserving of Selke Award consideration, best defensive forward in the league. So he means so much in so many different ways. I know I've said it to you guys. I don't think there's a guy on the Caps team who has more responsibilities in-game than Nicklas Backstrom. He's just that important.
Well, do you believe he'll be in the lineup tonight?
Bish, I don't know. I mean, it's been... The injury happens, what, May 5? So that was Game 5 against Pittsburgh. It's only been 12 days. You have to assume, and please, I don't know any differently, but you have to assume there's a fracture involved here. I don't know where it's broken, but until he's comfortable enough to think that, A, he can play anywhere close to his abilities offensively, that's one thing. He more than likely would not be able to take faceoffs. As a center iceman, that might put too much stress on the injured hand. And then what also concerns me more than anything is defensively, and he doesn't do a lot of this. He doesn't normally have to do a lot of it. This is usually more a defenseman's true role, but they always talk about pinning and holding along the boards. Will he have the strength to be able to hold off a guy on the dasher board defensively? I just don't know. And he's got to admit it to himself, to his mates, to the athletic trainers and the doctors. He's got to be able to look them in the eye and say, I won't be a liability over 60 minutes. And if you do put him back in there, we're talking big picture. And I know all we keep focusing on is one game, one shift, one period. But my mind drifts to, if you are lucky enough to get rid of Tampa Bay, I want Nicklas for round 4. Mm-hmm. Am I putting that in danger by putting him back in now? Those are all tough questions to weigh.
Joe B., did you think Anton Strahlman deserved a suspension for his hit on Tom Wilson in Game 3? Or are Caps fans still so salty about the Wilson 3-game suspension that we can't be objective about it?
I think it's a great question, Cakes, and I know people have been firing off at Tom for voicing his displeasure the way he did, but I can understand his frustration. Like it or not, he's been targeted. Like it or not, he's... You could say, Joe, he's very well earned this reputation, but he gets a lot of reputation penalties. And the focus is heavily upon him every hit he makes. He's 6'4", he's 225 pounds. His hitting technique is brilliant. I think he's a strong safety on skates. It's phenomenal. I love watching him play. And I think 95% of the time, he's probably very, very clean. And then it's shoulder hits. There's no flying elbows or forearms or high sticks or hits from behind. And he was upset because every time he's called onto the carpet by Department of Player Safety, they remind him, hey, Tom, if you see a player's numbers, you're supposed to minimize or avoid that contact. Well, Strahlman didn't minimize it. He didn't avoid it. And it was from the blind side, and I don't know that Tom turned late. A lot of the times the target will turn at the last instant, and then you get that boarding penalty. Things happen so quickly, but in that instance, when you slow it down and watch it, that should have been what Tom is saying, is that should have been something that you concern or at least call in and debate about with respect to being a possible hit that deserves some supplementary discipline. I can understand where he's coming from.
Everybody talked about the power play disparity in game three, letting Tampa go on the power play six times. It also seemed like to me that the Caps struggled on the faceoff in that game. I don't have the numbers in front of me. When you talked about Backstrom not being able to take a faceoff, what's going on in that department? Is that something that's fluky? Is it a trend? Should we be worried about it?
You know, JP, Jay Beagle is hands down their best faceoff man, and throughout the regular season is usually among the top five in the league at it. But after that, I think most of the Caps center icemen are going to be in that mid-40s, because Netsoff's usually mid-40%, to Backstrom's probably in that 52 range sometimes. You know, Chandler Stephenson told me the other day his goal individually, he wasn't happy with the way he was taking draws and winning them. And it's not always the center, by the way. It's usually a combination of players who help you win a faceoff, at least possession-wise. But Stephenson said his individual goal was to get to 55%. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're moving from 45 to 55, it is maybe one or two more draws that are going your way. With Nicklas, I'm not so sure that he would be able to take it strength-wise, considering the injury. And if he's playing on a line with Oshie and Vrana, that's my assumption again, that that's where you'd pop him, it's okay, because I see Oshie take a lot of right-handed draws in the offensive zone on the power play. So TJ's not totally foreign to it. I think there's always some strategy that's involved. There are set pieces on faceoffs that are involved, but from a draw standpoint, it also depends on who you're going up against. You know, like somebody like Patrice Bergeron, if the Caps were playing Boston, that would be tough, because he'd be having a field day on a defenseless Backstrom, you know, or anybody like that. And he routinely wins close to 60%. But I don't think you're dealing with that animal. I do think it's important, and it's especially important when you're a man down. Think about it. If Beagle's getting those draws to start in the defensive zone when you're on the penalty kill, if he wins that draw and you're able to clear it, boom, that's 20 seconds that's gone right away from a pretty potent Tampa Bay power play. There's a lot of things that go on into penalty killing.
Joe B., I think you summed it up perfectly, and I don't want to get too overreactionary after one game, but look, Tampa is a good team. They had 113 points. To expect them to get swept, I don't think that's fair. But I will say, and we were kind of expecting Tampa to show up in the series, and they certainly did. We were kind of expecting, I don't want to say a dud from the Caps, but they've been so
hot. They were due for one, maybe.
They were maybe due for one. That being said, I believe that the winner of game four wins the series. How do you feel about that?
It's not too much of a rush to judgment to say that, especially the way the first three games have played out. I thought Tampa Bay, from the very first minute, Bish, in game three, Tampa Bay showed me that they were there to play physically. And I heard John Cooper, their head coach, say, well, coach, what was the difference between the first two games at home and this game in D.C.? And his two words were, we checked, which meant they made a concerted effort for body contact, to be physical, to be in Washington's face. And they're going to do that again tonight. And the thing is, I fully expect Washington to be right there with them. So this is going to be an extremely intense game from a physical standpoint, and we love that as fans, because you want to see that punch, counterpunch. You're going to get it tonight. I just thought Tampa Bay, from where I was watching it, wanted the hockey game more. Right. They were more desperate. The Caps didn't get to that desperation level. The two power play goals put them in a bad spot. But I thought, again, at 5-on-5, I wasn't overly concerned by the way Washington was playing. I thought they had the better of the play 5-on-5. So we'll see. Do you put yourself in positions to take penalties? How are the officials going to officiate the game? Are they going to let them play, or are they going to call the smallest minute things? If so, you've got to get a read on that right away and cater your play to that. But when you're saying this is a swing game, it is without a doubt a major, major swing game, considering where you're going for game five, where you'd have to go for a potential game seven. And again, there's the comfort factor of knowing you played beautifully in the first two games there. Okay, but you're still, you know, you want to take care of business, I think, as soon as possible. And the fact that you can grab a 3-1 lead and potentially get out of a series in five or six, at this point of the year, that's dramatic. That gives you that much more time to get settled and to get set for a potential Stanley Cup final. I don't want to think that way. I just want them to think about winning game four.
Is there, last question, any adjustments other than potentially adding Backstrom to the mix?
You know, the thing that concerned me a little bit, EB, was watching the way all of a sudden Tampa Bay's forecheck hit home the other night. They did have success. I was talking to Matt Niskanen, EB, and he said in the first two games, the breakouts for the Caps were so good and so clean. That means that the transition from D-zone to offense was so good that he and his mates didn't have to defend very much. I went up to Braden Holtby. I said, Braden, what's the key to the five-on-five defense? He looked at me and said, we're not there very much. We're getting out of the zone easily in the first, or cleanly, was his word, in the first two games. That didn't happen in game three. There was forechecking pressure that hit home for Tampa Bay. So the Caps have to make some adjustments. There are multiple breakouts. I want to say they have six different ones at least, and I may be wrong by that, but there are different avenues with which they transition the puck out of the zone. They have to make the right choice tonight to beat the effective Tampa Bay forecheck, and that's something that a lot of teams struggle with through the years because Tampa Bay is so quick. They're very targeted. They hit the right lanes. That, for whatever reason, they didn't do that in the first two games. They did in game three. I'm interested to see the countermeasure for Washington for that tonight.
Joe, the coverage on NBC Sports Washington pre and post has been excellent. Will you be in the studio or will you be at the arena?
No, thank you for that, JP. We love having some connection to this, whether it be pre and post or all that good stuff before and after the game. From what I understand tonight, we are inside the building. We are in section 116, I want to say, with our studio set up, and we'll be going from there.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice. Thank you, Joe B. You're always so kind to us. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, you, my Joe. Pleasure. Right. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, right. Joe.
Joe Beninati. That guy's always been just unbelievably cool to us.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's great.
He's amazing.
He
and he calls
does.
Me Bish every time
in
I
the
ask
locker.
A question. He responds
yeah, if you
with
want
Bish.
To change your name back to something else,
yeah.
he'll
yeah.
roll with
he'll
it.
He'll be up to speed on it.
Yeah.
He always remembers.
All right, I have not checked this out at all, but I'm aware it's very viral. Can somebody explain to me, and then maybe we can play it, what is the Laurel versus Yanny
it's
thing?
It's so annoying.
I've actually chosen not to click on the story. I know that Drab put in our outline yesterday. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to it. And then I see it
what
still
is
like
it?
In headlines today.
What is it?
Kicks?
It's just an audio clip that when you play it, some people hear the word Yanny. When other people hear it. They hear the word of a broken downtown in Maryland.
Laurel?
Laurel.
So it's like that dress
but they're
thing.
Not even
yeah.
close.
Exactly like
same
it, but with
thing.
Audio.
But it's, an
it's
audio,
not even close.
There's an audio component.
All right.
All right, so. Let's each write it down. Can you play
Laurel.
I mean, I just, it's right. impossible it's, that somebody
play
heard
it. Hold it. Stop it. Because JP's talking.
Shocker.
Okay. Count down 3, 2, and then play it. 3, 2.
Laurel.
I mean, well, to 100%, me, it's plain as day.
That's 100% Laurel.
Yeah, I'm a Laurel guy.
You don't have that's to write it down.
Laurel.
He's not
Laurel.
Saying Yanny.
It's impossible. Yeah, my daughter hears it. She hears
Is
Yanny.
There anybody in yes. here that heard Yanny?
That was the first thing. I couldn't believe it.
God, you're weird.
When I was playing it.
Are you kidding?
Everyone kept saying
you're
Laurel.
Like, sir, you might have a brain tumor.
Yeah, you,
and then
you just got something going on.
He's saying Yanny.
But you got Old Bay stuffed in your ear.
Yanny Machado. Silly.
Old Bay stuffed in there. You got a crab claw in your ear.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
No, that's Laurel.
Yanny. How could you hear Yanny?
What did you hear, Dravy?
I heard Laurel, but Valdez told me that he had tubes in his ears when he was a kid.
All right, that makes sense.
Well, did anyone else?
He can't hear anything.
Maybe hillbillies hear Yanny.
Tubes in your ear, though, isn't that what they do for kids that have ear infections?
Yeah, that's basically it. Ear infection.
And they fall out as you get older. They don't just stay in your ear.
Yeah, my ears are better. I think I just have more sophisticated. I have more sophisticated hearing.
Dandruff in his ear.
You have a sophisticated ear.
No,
he does have the
nuts.
Gold. I will give him this. He does have the golden ear when it comes
Laurel.
To identifying hit music. I give him props on that. And by the way,
why? How does that become viral? Like,
I don't
who
know.
Who decided to just throw out an audio clip and
not
and the
sure.
whole world?
Because someone,
check
sure
it out.
Someone realized someone, that people are hearing two different things.
Because it was on Reddit and there were like a million comments. On
it's got to be 90-10 Laurel.
Yeah, is it 50-50?
No, there was it was like one poll had it at like 51% hearing Yanny, then another poll had 53% as Laurel.
So if there's anyone hearing Yanny, call in.
besides Valdez.
Any right. Team Yanny's out right. There.
And I guarantee you, there'll be somebody from Mechanicsville.
It's 98% Laurel at the Fan.
Yeah, everyone here
is the
station.
Only one right. That hears Yanny.
Right.
Like I said, I have a sophisticated ear.
Right, right.
And by the way, Valdez is such a planner that we're playing in the Purple Heart Open. I think it's on June 25th. So by my math, that's about 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
He's already crafting a 5-hour Spotify playlist.
Nice.
So he's make sure
it's a month away.
That we're all entertained and have enough music to last through our round.
So wait a second. He can spend all this time doing a 5-hour playlist, but when Jason sends him one song request,
yeah,
he never
that.
Plays it.
Oh, I gotta load it up.
Yeah, see, it's different. He can just go on Spotify, and I'll say, I'll put some Rat or some Cinderella on there, and boom, it's done.
Well,
in like
the reason is because he cares more about the playlist than he does my song.
Right. It's all about what he cares
just
about.
Just wanted to point it out.
Yes. Right. But Valdez, thank you. I'm usually anti-music on the golf course, because again, I'm a golf purist. But I'm looking forward to listening to some emo and some white trash hair metal during our round.
By the way, I was butt offended when Jason said, what did you guys shoot, 6 over last year? Right. I'm butt offended by that.
Well, I mean, you've got 3 hacks playing with you.
Hey, I'm the B player.
Yeah, Cakes is our B player.
That's right.
Right, Cakes is a 32 handicap.
I'm a hack, no doubt.
Our goal is to beat last year's score, which was 4 under.
Why are you sleeping on Pete?
Pete never plays.
Pete has a hole in one.
Does he?
Yes. So, pretty sure he does.
Pete has a hole in one?
Does he have
that's
a hole
impressive.
In one? That's impressive. If he props. Has a hole in one, it's one of those like worm burner.
It probably
is.
Yeah. Probably scalded.
Here, I put him up.
Pete?
Pete on sports.
Hello.
Hello, Pedro.
Can you describe your hole in one?
17th hole, Naval Academy Golf Course. A little over 100-yard par 3, high arcing, elevated tee to a very down low green. High in the air, it's on the green.
It's a down low green. It's a down low green.
How's this don't have a hole in one?
And if you start laughing because it's a 100-yard par 3.
No, it's more than that. I have to look up the yardage.
I love that yardage.
Why don't you say like 185?
Well, because I'm not gonna lie about it. I have to go back and look at the Naval Academy Golf Course online. I can tell you exact yardage. But what was great was I had witnesses, obviously. And I got a certificate from the PGA of America solidifying my hole-in-one. If you go to my Facebook page, it's in my photos there somewhere. So
when was this?
3 years ago at the Naval Academy sponsor golf outing.
Now, being someone that doesn't play golf, did that mean anything to you, or was it just kind of funny?
It was great. I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
By the way, hole 17 is 140-yard par 3.
Okay, that's respectable. Is Pete on Sports currently eating medium rare?
100%.
I'm eating the same thing you all are eating.
Fantastic. Very we good. Need to thank medium rare. I left the read out there. I'll give the
medium
official read a little
in,
bit later.
What are they bringing, steak and egg
it's
sandwiches?
It's in the heart of downtown Bethesda.
Yeah. Well, they've got 4 locations, I think.
Steak and egg on sourdough. It is.
You don't
delicious.
Have the read, but I think they have 4 locations.
And I will
more.
Tell you, because I've been there for brunch, their French toast is fantastic, and I do believe that was part of the official read.
Do you have the read?
But I have a personal
read. It. Huh? Professional voice here.
Yeah, hook it, Drab. You
medium
can do
rare
it.
In Bethesda on Fairmont Road in downtown Bethesda opens for dinner daily at 5. Weekend bottomless brunches start at 10:30 Saturday and Sunday. Best brunch item is, of course, the French toast.
There you go.
Nice read, Drab.
Hey, Valdez, someone's texting on the zip line. You got to put Backwater by the Meat Puppets on the playlist.
That's a hurting song.
That's not a bad
it's
song.
Hurting play. It's probably it's so old and terrible. It's probably already in the system.
I actually think it is.
That's a nub song.
Drab, is everybody calling
I've seen
in
that playlist. You got
somewhere.
A lot of nubbies on that playlist.
Oh, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that. There's a lot of Ted Nugent sprinkled on there. It's terrible. It should never have been
no,
in
I'm
there.
Talking about on the playlist. You get some nubbies on the playlist.
What? I think the playlist is sterling.
I think it's silly.
No, it's definitely not
give
silly.
Give us a sample, Valdez. Give us a sample of the playlist.
Drab, real quick, is everybody calling in about Yanny versus
I want to hear, though. Some people saying they're hearing both. It depends on the frequency. Let's go to Chris in Alexandria. Chris, what's up?
Yeah. Just saw this story on, like, what, CNN or something, and it said scientist discusses it. So I played the audio through my computer at work 2 days ago when the story happened, and I heard 100% Yanny.
Did you?
But then now, when you guys are playing it through the radio, I'm hearing Laurel.
Hmm.
So, but the explanation from the scientist said it might have to do with sound quality of the recording. So I don't know what that means, but that's what he was saying when I was watching a thing on my computer. Yeah. So, but yeah, I definitely heard Yanny 2 days ago, and now it's definitely Laurel.
A lot of people are tweeting me, I hear like on your stream, I hear one thing, and on you know, on the radio, Laurel. I hear something different.
Well, is Yanny even a real word?
Laurel.
Where'd they come up with that?
No chance. I don't think that's a words with friends word. And some of those words. Well,
the guy said that the sequence of the if you look, I don't know what that is when like you are recording something and you see those like kind of bars going across the screen, mm-hmm. like showing the pitch of it. They're saying that Laurel and Yanny, supposedly, the scientists said that they have the exact same thing going across if you say it the same way.
Well, they both start and end with the same letter. I don't know.
Yanny.
Yeah, I don't know.
How does that sound? All right. I'd have to hear it from a different...
Thank you.
Laurel.
I don't know how on earth right, you would ever hear that as Yanny. And if you do, you're a weirdo.
2018. Do you still hear that?
2018 is the year
every
of Yanny.
You play that,
every
time
Yanny.
You hear that, you hear
how does
Yanny.
It sound?
Every
mimic
time.
Mimic the voice.
Yanny.
Ah, that's strange.
Yanny.
Roger,
that's what you're hearing?
Manny, my dog.
You don't, hear, you don't hear Laurel at all.
No.
God, that's weird.
God, you have hurting. It explains a lot.
What do you mean explains
He's from Dundalk, of course.
I'm not from Dundalk.
Everyone from Dundalk?
I am not from Dundalk.
I guarantee everyone from Dundalk hears Yanny.
Right. You know, call someone in Dundalk and see what he hears.
Guaranteed.
Isn't Yanny the musical composer?
That's Yanny.
Yanny.
Did you hear Yanny too?
Yeah. JD.
Hey, it's definitely Yanny. That's what I've heard every single time. And I'm not from Mechanicsville or anything like that. I'm from Northern Virginia. I've lived here the whole time and all that.
I don't get
it. Yeah, silly Vienna hears Yanny.
Right.
The best I can say, you know, I hear Vienna. It. And I heard.
It's not that silly.
Mimic the voice. Mimic how you hear it.
Yeah, it's high pitched. It's Yanny. That's Yanny. How... And I think what I did hear, the same thing the other guy said, is the higher pitched voice is Yanny. At the same time, it's superimposed over a low pitched Laurel. And if your ears focus on one versus the other, you hear Laurel versus Yanny.
This is Matt Valdez. I
can't
hear
believe
Yanny Machado.
Did CNN do a story on this?
It's been
I think
all
so. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Some people are saying.
Unbelievable. Yanny versus Laurel on CNN.
No, I think that's what they.
It's bigger than Warriors versus Rockets.
It is.
I think what he
way
said.
Bigger.
What he said makes sense to me. So it's two recordings superimposed over each other, one at a higher pitch than the others, and it depends on what pitch your ears are accustomed
someone,
to hearing.
Someone is saying that on
I
TV
hear
they
Laurel.
Hear Yanny, on radio they hear Laurel.
I know. That's what I'm telling you. People are telling me that. All right, let's go to Layton in Manassas. That's a hurt. You probably hear Yanny, don't you? Manassas.
No, actually, we hear both. Yesterday, we did it, and without question, I heard Yanny every time, and I thought anybody who heard Laurel was crazy. This morning, when you guys played it 5 or 7 times, every time I heard Laurel, clean as a bell.
Right.
So I don't know what
clean as a bell.
It's clean as a whistle.
Of course you heard
Ricky.
Yanny.
Right.
Clean as a
oh,
bell.
Shocker. Dale City hears Yanny.
Right.
Dale. Yanny. See? I'm hey, on to something.
How about Cowboy?
Yeah, Cowboy's
on
the
I don't know what y'all talking about with all that sign. I don't know what y'all talking about with all the signs and frequency and all that, but Yanny for sure.
Right.
No doubt about it. Yanny.
Yeah. Because your name is Dale.
No doubt about
Dale from Dale City.
Go to Cowboy Todd.
But take bets. What he hears?
He definitely hears Yanny.
100% Yanny. 100%. Cowboy, what do you hear, buddy?
I definitely hear Laurel. I don't hear no Yanny.
Upset.
No, you don't.
It's Laurel all the way. It's
Laurel.
Clear as Laurel, and I can't even hear how you get Yanny out of that.
I don't know either, man. We actually agree
we don't
there,
know,
brother.
Bro. We have no
hey, could
idea.
You spell Laurel, by the way?
Laurel. L-U-A-R-E.
Yes. Nicely done.
Crushed it.
God, you're good.
I'm looking forward to your text from before the Caps game later, Cowboy.
Me too. I'm calling off work this evening. I had somebody cover my backup. I'm going to be at home, and I'm going to text you the whole game.
Oh, great.
What do you expect tonight?
I think we'll take it tonight as long as we stay out of the penalty box. And Hopey, you know, he didn't have that bad of a game, but, you know, it could have been better.
It
but
was
I
a
think
little
we
off.
Got
Cowboy,
it.
Spell Ovechkin.
Oh, well, I always abbreviate OVA. Or no, OVI.
Right. OVI.
One of them,
just do
go ahead. Just do the whole thing.
Let's do OVI.
OVIAKA?
Yes.
No, damn,
you're
good. He's not being serious.
I'm telling you, he's so
lying.
Good at it.
No. He's lying.
Yeah. He's just a wonder boy.
Yeah. All right.
No, it's definitely Laurel. Laurel all the way. It ain't no Yanny.
Right.
We got to move on.
Thank you, Cowboy. Apparently, the New York Times has a slider, so you can hear both. So when they raise the pitch or whatever, then you hear a different sound.
Makes sense.
There's basically two recordings, and it depends on which one you're listening to.
Like I said, I was aware that it was this big viral story recording. The last 2 days. I never clicked on the story, and we were getting a bunch of tweets about it. It was on the outline yesterday, Yanni versus Laurel.
So stupid.
What really kills Jason in particular, that we'll take more calls on that than the Nationals any day of the week.
I don't care anymore.
Giving up that.
Fox News said yesterday, apparently people with higher intelligence hear Yanni. Dale from Dale City heard Yanni.
Please. That's a farce.
I think it's complete opposite, actually. I would go complete opposite on that one.
So a couple days ago, there was a landmark Supreme Court decision essentially legalizing sports gambling all across the country. And Jeff Freeman joins us now from the American Gaming Association.
Titan of industry.
First of all, he was nice enough to sponsor our trip to Vegas for our 20th anniversary, which was fantastic. And he's been friends of the show for a while. I think he's teed it up with Jason a few times, although now he has a frozen shoulder and they never play golf again.
What do you mean? We went to dinner 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Well,
did he make a move?
Did he make a move at all? Feign an interest in the check?
We went to Eddie V's.
Tell him the truth. Teresa reached for her purse while alligator arms are over there.
Right, exactly.
She reached for her purse.
He doesn't even give her a credit card.
Yeah, she's got nothing to dig in for.
Well, that may have been part of the whole scheme. It was an empty purse, but I didn't.
Yeah, it was like a Pottery Barn card.
If she doesn't have a credit card, then why am I getting $3,000 to $4,000 credit card bills?
Well, what is it? She doesn't have an ATM. What is it?
Correct.
What's the difference?
All right.
Well, listen. Anyway, tell us like what this means for our listeners in Virginia, Maryland, D.C., because that's what we care most about.
Yeah, we care about us for the most part.
By the way, huge victory for you guys.
Huge victory, I think, for your listeners, for us, for the entire industry. Mm-hmm. This is a great week. Absolutely great week. The Supreme Court did us a huge favor. They went further, frankly, than I thought they would in declaring this ban on sports betting completely unconstitutional. So where we go from here is every state is now free to legalize and regulate sports betting if they so choose. So it's not necessarily legal anywhere right now, but if the state chooses to put in regulations, chooses to do this, they have the ability to do that now.
So essentially the states can act like Las Vegas has always acted.
Exactly. And the states are going to move forward fast. We saw 18 states this year, even before the ruling, introduce legislation. Four of those have already passed it. So sports betting, I think, will be up and running in those four states. And by the time we get to the football season this fall, New Jersey will be up and running in a matter of weeks, probably early June. And as we get into next year, I think you'll see upwards of two dozen states be well on their way to legalizing sports betting.
Now, Maryland is probably one of those states you're talking about. Virginia, can you tell me where they are?
So Maryland is one of those states. They had legislation introduced this year. It didn't go anywhere. Virginia, you know, on the one hand, you'd say, Virginia is decades behind. But they were the absolute first state to go in and legalize fantasy sports. Huh. You see that they've now brought some stuff to to racetracks in Virginia. So I think Virginia actually might move forward on sports betting, even without the existence of brick-and-mortar casinos. I think that's quite possible.
How close do you think Maryland is right now? Like, let's just say MGM. How close are they to putting in a sports book?
I'm optimistic that with Maryland we can get something done in 2019. Now, the question is, how are they going to do it? In the law that they adopted or the law they put in place this year to consider, it did not include mobile sports betting. It only included at the brick-and-mortar casino.
Okay.
I think that's a real mistake. Mm-hmm. I think if we don't have intrastate mobile betting, we're not going to strangle the illegal market. We're not going to cut anybody off. Just putting it in the brick-and-mortar casino is a mistake.
Because you make a good point. Because if you don't make it accessible on your phone, who's going to actually drive to the... I can do it right now on my phone.
I would drive there.
Well, I know you would.
If Cakes is our judge here.
Right. Yes. I just say, it takes a lot of work to drive to the casino, place your bet there, whereas you can do it right on your computer.
What we need to have in Maryland is you're using your Caesars Total Rewards account or your MGM M Life account or the account that Maryland Live has, where you have to go in through the brick-and-mortar casino, the regulated entity. But you can still use your mobile device to do that. That's the only way we're going to cut off the illegal market. If Maryland decides not to do that, Mississippi, I know, has decided not to do that, it's a partial victory at best.
The illegal market is $150 billion a year.
Right.
Consider that number.
And that's the issue. How do we bring people for this market to succeed now? So we've got this. We've got sports betting. The only way we succeed is by transitioning players from the illegal market to the legal market. And we've all heard the leagues talk about the integrity fee. We've all heard the leagues talk about what the cut they want is. You know what? There's a cut for the leagues to be had. If they can be helpful in moving people from the illegal market to the legal market as an industry, we're happy to reward them in some way or another.
But not the 1% that they want. That's a joke.
You know, the integrity, the 1% integrity fee is a red herring.
Yeah.
This is about data rights. This is about other other aspects of what should be a contractual relationship between the industry and the leagues. We're happy to enter into a contract, but you're not going to get something for nothing. What are they going to put on the table?
I heard the guy from Jersey. What's the legislator from New Jersey that was behind this?
Lesniak. Yeah.
He said, I'm not giving the leagues anything.
Yeah.
He said that we spent $8 million litigating this over the last 6-7 years. We're not giving them anything.
Well, I think, and again, the leagues are not going to get something for nothing.
Right.
But the leagues can be very helpful when it comes to transitioning players from the illegal market to legal. The biggest thing, and you guys know this, the biggest thing in poker or sports is the cost of acquisition, how you're going to acquire players. The leagues can be helpful in acquiring players for the legal industry. They can be helpful in lobbying with us to get mobile done. They can be helpful in lobbying with us to keep tax rates at a reasonable amount. If they're willing to do those things, then there's a contract we can enter into that is mutually mm-hmm. beneficial.
How does it work? And I'm just not aware of this. In Great Britain, for example, I hear talk about like in-game betting and things like that, and I'm sure that's down the road. But how does it work in a country where there is that type of stuff available?
It's not too far down the road.
It's not that far down.
I don't think so. In-game betting in the UK is about how many corners you have, other aspects of a soccer game, which frankly doesn't set up that well.
So you bet on corner kicks.
Exactly. It doesn't set up that well for in-game betting. Look here, though. If I'm going to watch the Nats game and I'm going to bet whether the next pitch is a ball or strike, we got Trey Turner on first, so I'm going to do a side bet on double play because I think that's pretty unlikely. And the algorithm is working instantaneously to give me odds. That's where we're going, and it's not that far down the road.
By the way,
I heard,
by the way, Goodell sends NFL teams over for 4 games in Wembley where they're in-game betting.
Yes. And look at the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights were on last night. You had thousands of people in the stands betting as the game was going on. Mm-hmm. The NHL has benefited from this. The NHL has seen firsthand this year that everything has been happening on the up and up. It has strengthened the value of the team. Mark Cuban came out this week and said, just that Supreme Court ruling doubled the valuation of most of these sports.
Yeah, but do you buy into that at all, though?
I absolutely do.
I mean, heard Cuban say that it'll make baseball exciting again.
But because, that's just a dig.
It was a dig. But there are some people that don't like watching baseball games, but if they can bet on every out and every pitch.
Yeah, you're looking at one.
Right.
You're an alien.
Yeah, that sweetens the pot for your boy
What's this do to Vegas?
You know, I think somebody else was asking me the same question. We wouldn't have been on this, obviously, if we thought that this would destroy Vegas. And a lot of people thought that, well, Nevada has a monopoly. Why would they want this? Well, it goes back to cakes. There's a $150 billion illegal market. There was no monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a monopoly for the legal market, but the legal market was $4.5 billion compared to $150. Vegas understands one thing, obviously, not a monopoly. Two, the companies that dominate Las Vegas are also all over the country.
They're all over the place,
and they're going to benefit from this as well. And thirdly, as we've seen casinos expand and the industry go mainstream, Vegas has only gotten stronger. You know, if California casinos or other casinos were going to hurt Las Vegas, we would have seen that. The industry has only gotten stronger.
It's a destination. Exactly. At the end of the day, Vegas is a destination where, yes, people gamble, but they go there for a lot of other reasons, whether it's shows, whether it's great dinners,
it's the experience.
Whatever.
And you're not going to replicate that experience, with all due respect, at Maryland casinos or somewhere else. It's an experience in Las Vegas that's unique.
Although MGM National Harbor is getting close.
It's a fantastic property.
It's an amazing spot.
With some amazing shows and things like that.
Hey, if the Caps play the Golden Knights in the Cup Final, are we going?
We're going.
I like it.
We'll see. We got to get past the intercom first.
All right. It's Jeff Freeman from the American Gaming Association. I don't know if you want people to check out a website or anything. We never mentioned that.
Heck, we're done. What's left to do?
Your job's like, over.
Check out sportsbettinginamerica.com. We're going to have a lot of work to do to get this passed in the States and get it done the right way. This is a huge win for you guys from an advertising standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Huge win for you
Meet
guys.
Him at Eddie V's to Friday night. He'll buy you dinner.
There you go.
Perfect.
By the way, your Eddie V's reservation, he went through my buddy who used to be the chef there, who wasn't even working there anymore, and then he called him at 7 in the morning.
Hey, he's working his
Eddie V's money?
And then
Eddie
he made
V's
me
is a nice spot.
How good was that food?
It was fantastic.
All right, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.